Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. We are glad to have you guys with us. Ava's here.
I'm here.
There she is. Donald's here.
I'm here.
I'm here. I'm Eric. I am the host of the Valley Outdoors, and you are here for us. We got some great stories coming up. One of them that you're going to really kind of have some fun with is I found what they feel is the 30 best gun dog names.
Oh, I love this.
And multiple categories as well, Don. So let's play along. You guys are going to have fun with it. We are too. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you, Ava.
Good to be seen, always.
Donald?
Yeah, me too.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to leave that open for interpretation.
It's good to see you once in a while, too.
You know, a year ago, but I was real busy.
Yes, yeah, you were.
I was MIA.
You had a couple coming out the door.
More like they were taken out the door, but yes.
They got right out into the world.
Yep, they sure did.
Yep.
And now we got one-year-old tykes running around, so.
You're only three short of a Minnesota limit. Walleye limit, that is. Oh, yes. And another show shall begin. Nothing but happiness and fun across the board, right, Don?
That's right.
Couple things we want to take a look at. You know, fishing for pike was one of those things that, you know, hey, let's go cast some weed edges and break line edges, and I hadn't really understood, because I hadn't really fished for pike, you know, specifically sought after pike, right? Northern pike. And when I started fishing rivers and really kind of understanding tributaries and how those can really be an attractant for pike as well as other species, but you see warm water or temperature variances and never realized it was that critical with pike. And it's a major key piece to the puzzle for summer pike. Finding a spot that you can consistently target them. You look for water temp. If it's hot, you've got water temp that's very warm. Shallow water, 3 feet.
So are you looking for warm water or cool water?
You're looking for warm water, but what you're looking for is near an area of colder water entry. So any type of a stream that comes in, a spring that comes in, any type of things like that that come in, you are going to find that you will have a ton of pike. And surprised me, you can be in a complete sand or mud flat in 3 feet of water and just knock them out. But if the delta, meaning not the delta, meaning the width or that delta as far as water coming in, the delta in the temperature, the difference in temperature has to be significant. Warm, extremely warm water in the main body of water where you're in and colder water by about 10 degrees. And it doesn't have to be 10. It can be 5 to 8 degrees, and you will find it's crazy the number of fish that will pull up into those areas. Fan cast, you can use your live scopes, your side imaging transducers, and to target those fish. You can use a swim bait, big paddle tail,
yep.
Really effective. And the nice part about this is it's not, quote unquote, what I would say scientific, knowing you have to do a certain cadence like a jigging wrap or a ripping wrap. All you do is throw it out, reel it back in, and it's crazy.
So let me ask. Most people do. Do you use a leader?
You absolutely have to.
Yep.
You have to. If you don't, you will pay the
be
price.
Tying on.
You will pay the price. Now, the part that I thought that was, it was a surprise to me. In this particular case, Mississippi River, we had sturgeon that were in the same area, and I mean all over the place, in 3 feet of water. And I'm not talking 24-inch. I'm not talking 30-inch. I'm talking 60-inch, 65-inch. I caught one about 65. Brought it alongside the boat, said, what are we going to do with this thing? We pulled a hook out. Surprisingly enough, I got it just fan casting a rip and wrap. Steady retrieve, and both, I had two. Caught one, brought it in, threw it out. Again, threw the bait out. 5 minutes later, I had another one. Both hooked in the lip.
That seems unusual that they would hit that type of bait.
That's what we all thought. Because we're catching pike, and they both hit, both and verified. Two guys are with me. They're both, what in the world? It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. But again, the whole point really comes down to the water temperature, the delta between the incoming water and the body of water that you're in. That delta was big enough to, I believe, bring a number of different fish into that area. But the shallowness of the water and that size fish was, it blew me away.
Surprising.
Yeah. Well,
most people, honestly, most people don't fish in 3 feet of water unless you're thinking, panfish or something like that. But even then,
people
don't fish that shallow.
So I fished a tournament on a Big Stone. And Big Stone Lake, it's western part of the state of Minnesota, right on the border of North Dakota or South Dakota, Minnesota. And early on in my tournament career, and we were pitching jigs. It's my all-time favorite thing to do. And we were fishing a body of water, part of the body of that water, in the middle of the lake in an island area. We were pitching jigs. In the tournament, now we had seen carp that were spawning, and we caught carp and caught some other things, and these carp were in swimming, stirring up the bottom. Well, the walleye went in there as well. We pulled up to a different area with more rock, and I'm looking and said, look at all the carp. And my buddy looks at me and he said, those were carp yesterday. Those aren't carp. So we looked more closely. They were all walleyes. There was like 15 of them in the shallows. Similar to what you and I saw at the governor's opener.
Right.
At the outlet of Lake Itasca, we come across, walk across the rocks, and I look down and I go, hey, Don, check that out. He looks down. There's two 18 or 19, more than that, it's probably five or seven, 18, 19-inch walleyes. So I called the lieutenant governor's guide. I said, hey, buddy, get over here. They went out and they caught some walleyes. But shallow water is very surprising, even in summer when you have hotter conditions. So we'll tell you what, stay tuned. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about the 30 best gun dog names. You're not going to want to miss it. You may want to pick one for yourself. Be right back. Apparently, you're still hanging out with us, which is a good thing, and we'd like you to hang out with us in another place as well, and that would be The Valley Outdoors. And where else, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Oh, wrong. Facebook. You missed it. I said The Valley Outdoors. I changed it up on you.
No,
yeah, but
you didn't say.
You didn't say .com, though.
No.
You just said at The Valley Outdoors.
You can do Facebook, too.
Okay, so try it again. We are on TheValleyOutdoors.com and?
And Facebook.
There we go. That was a redo, but that's okay. We can go with redos.
I'm always left out.
You were supposed to give it to her this week, don't you remember?
I was going
to. You don't follow instructions
very
well.
I actually looked at her and I thought, I could do it, and then she'd be looking at me like.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't.
No, I would have gotten it right.
I did catch you off guard when you and I were just alone, and you kind of, it's like, did the stutter step.
No, you didn't even throw it to me.
I did. Once.
No, you did not.
Once.
No, you did not.
We'll check the records.
We will go, yeah. We'll
check the tapes.
Eric.
We'll check the tapes. So last week, Okay, I want everybody at home to know that I've gotten more grief, not from anybody else other than my co-hosts, because I got a little excited last week. They're like, we're going to turn down your microphone. You can't get excited. You can't, you know, none of that anymore. I said, I can't help it. When you have something that you're passionate about and you're like fed up with it, you have a tendency to get a little excited, and that's fine. I think it shows passion.
Okay.
And when you are passionate about something, generally you will
get excited.
Yeah.
Go off the deep end?
Nope, not the deep end. Absolutely not. But anyway,
it was
close. Let me not leave everybody in the dark on this. This is about the federal government's plan to defund hunting and archery classes, which would involve sporting the trap scenarios, the archery and archery competition, and everything else, which is absolutely senseless. And I'm calm about it because we found that there was more people up in arms in the appropriate areas.
There's more to the story.
There's more to the story. There's an effort now unveiled to claw back the funds from the administration that they were having over the hunting and archery classes. Republican Representative Tenney is on the forefront of this. Claudia Tenney from New York. They're unveiling legislation to reverse the administration's crackdown on school hunting education and archery programs nationwide. They're joined by Russ Felcher from Idaho, another one from Indiana, another one from New York. They're introducing the Protecting Hunting and Archery in Schools Act, which will remove federal restrictions on federal hunting and archery programs. The bill comes after the highlight on Education Department guidance that strips such funding from schools nationwide. The commentary involves the administration continues to advance the radical anti-Second Amendment agenda by prohibiting ESEA funding for archery and shooting sports programs. Upstate New York schools offer hunting, archery, and shooting sports programs to teach students how to responsibly handle firearms and respect the Second Amendment.
So the nuts and bolts of it are the sportsmen of the world aren't going to stand for it.
Which is really cool.
It is. So
let me continue. Yep. I'll finish this up, or I should say continue on, because there's a fair amount of story behind this. The attempt to defund the outdoor recreational programs is a power grab and flies in the face of congressional intent, she said. This important legislation will protect popular after-school programs and end the administration's attack on constitutional rights. Last month, the Education Department shared federal guidance to hunting education groups, highlighting that hunting and archery programs in schools would be stripped of funding. The guidance explained that the administration interpreted the Safer Communities Act to mean such programs can no longer receive taxpayer funds. The particular information in the guidance, senior agency official Sarah Martinez wrote that archery and hunter education and wilderness safety course use weapons that are technically dangerous weapons and therefore may not be funded under the 1965 Elementary Secondary Education Act. That's the ESEA or EC. And that, according to advocates, many schools that offer such courses have already been nixed from the curriculum due to the guidance. They weaponized the Department of Education to defund the activities, is how they viewed it. And with these programs, Donna, the bottom line is they build stronger communities, and they put it down here, build stronger communities for, and for the administration to say otherwise just goes to show how out of touch they are. And I think the other thing, it takes away kids' history. Last week we were talking about it. All three of us have taken hunter education. But the part I don't get is the fact that the DNR, Department of Natural Resources, in every state promotes hunter education. So how is this not literally one hand not knowing what the other one's doing? I mean,
where have you been?
I know, Don, but this is literally in vision, straight plain sight. Everybody sees that. What are you guys doing?
Look, you know, in most cases, I do not believe it's actual school districts that are providing this education. They're making it possible for kids to participate in the Department of Natural Resources from the various states. Now, I don't know what it's like across the country with different departments, but they're the ones that actually put on the training, and it's firearm training, which follows up with a hunter training.
Well, and the from my perspective, when you look at how this lays out, it's also affecting the shooting sports, and we talked about this as well. The shooting sports and fishing are the largest growth sports in schools nationwide, and at an absolutely incredible rate, and it's exciting to see. And people may understand the trap itself, and we've said it before, if you haven't been a constant listener of the show, the trap competitions between schools, they don't go to another school, they do it virtually. So realistically, all these pieces and parts are in place for everyone to compete. Anybody can compete. Even, I mean, it doesn't matter. Handicap, got boys and girls compete on the same team. It's skill. And that is the part that flies in the face of everything that's going on in the world today. Why would you do this and take this away? It's one more chunk that they can gain control. And I use they because I don't know who they is, but we'll say the administration and their judgment calls. And what I find also further down in the story, Senator's Manchin, Democratic Manchin, Mr. John Tester, he's a Democrat from Montana. Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio. Another one, Kristen Sinema. All these are on board as well. So how in the world can you sit and make a judgment like this and even have a conversation? Because you can't come out and say this without having some type of research and have this right result. What's your thoughts on that,
Doug? Well, I don't know that this went through Congress, did it?
What I'm saying is that how could you ever come out with something and say that you're cutting funds?
When you know nothing about it, it's the only way. I mean, think about think of the group of people that are in Washington that are making some of these decisions. They're not from the other part of the world, you know, as far as the outdoors and the participation that happens on a youth level. I mean, they try to spread fear with firearms rather than education.
So now keep in mind, you mentioned earlier, this is not set in Congress. Yes, this was set in through Congress, the BSCA. It was criticized as a gun control bill, but proponents touted it as a safer, more inclusive and positive schools. That's what it was designed around. And it was passed overwhelmingly by Congress and signed in 2022 after shootings at grocery market in New York, Buffalo, and Uvalde, Texas. The problem is, how do they judge this? And they said, well, no, prohibited uses of federal funding for school funding. That's when they chopped it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the sad part of it is, I mean, I haven't heard, but you wonder how many of those situations, those individuals that did that had gone through any kind of firearm training prior to it to have respect for what they're holding in their hand.
Well, and this is the wording that kills me. The amendment prohibits the ESA from funding helping provide any person with a dangerous weapon or to provide training in the use of a dangerous weapon. Well, you could say, how about we provide training for safe use of any weapon? And there you go. I think that is the most important thing. So they're going to be looking at this. They're going to craft the language and reverse the guidance is what's going to happen. So
it's good news.
There you have it. Yeah, awesome news. Absolutely fantastic. I'm calm, cool, and collected. Hang tight. We are going to be right back.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
you name your hunting dog?
Clinker. We had a hunting dog named Clinker.
Okay.
Yeah. Is Clinker on the list?
No, Clinker's not on the list, but that's okay. Oh, you guys catch us in the middle of our conversation. You got to like that. Good to have you guys back. We're talking gun dog names, the 30 best gun dog names. Lots of categories to go through.
Is Willow on there?
I'm not going to go through that. Gosh. Oh, Don.
What do you mean?
Don. No. Do you see how fast he shut that down? No.
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 No. No.
Is it on there?
I'm not.
I need to know now.
Wow.
My hunting dog's not on there either.
Okay, so we're going to throw this out there right off the bat, okay? Lots of, obviously, dog names. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how many dog names are out there. We all know that. Some are popular. Some are people's names. And it's always tough when you're going hunting with somebody with a dog with a people name, because who knows if the hunting party you're in has a people name the same as your dog. So that makes it, I've had that before.
Okay. Can we set the ground rules here?
What's the ground rules?
The ground rules, if you're going to name a hunting dog, it can only be one syllable.
Sorry.
That's the way it's supposed to be, honestly. And the reason is because when you're in the field and you're calling your dog to come and you're out there with nine guys with dogs, you know, Baby Billy Bob Joe is all out trying to get to come back.
That's four. But
yeah, well, I made the same mistake, you know, and you probably did too. Mine was Mia, which is two syllables.
Well,
our dog
was... Patch was one of them. It's a big Chesapeake. Clinker was the other one. It was a black dog. And what's in a boiler from coal is a clinker. It's basically just a residue.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So let's jump into this, shall
we? Yeah, we would.
Debate. I don't have to, you know, agree with it. Only has to be one syllable. Best popular female dog names. We'll jump right into the female dog names. All right. Number one, Luna. And I shouldn't say there's number one.
Luna?
These are just all rank high. Luna, Sadie,
oh my God.
Daisy, Rosie, as well as Maggie and Molly all rank high on the list.
That's any dog, though. Doesn't have to be a hunting dog.
No, but I'm just saying. Popular male names for dogs. Max. Buddy.
One syllable.
Bear.
One syllable.
Do we have to have him just comment on one syllable on every one of these?
Maybe.
You rule the microphone, you know.
I do.
You can push that button and stop him at any time. Best popular either sex choices. Shiloh. Great choice. Yeah. And Don is now holding fingers up. Oh,
like,
that's
yes,
two.
Don. We all were in elementary school and learned syllables here.
That's why I'm just holding the number.
Yeah, I see, Don.
Fingers
are
up.
You doing this in your head? Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, he's actually doing 2 foot hoof scuffs on the floor is what he's doing.
Sadie.
Yeah.
Shiloh.
Ta, ta, ti, ti, ta. There you go. All right. Best male upland dog names. Are you going to be okay over there?
Okay. Upland, I'm interested.
Hilarious.
All right. A good one. Rooster. Unfortunately, when somebody sells Rooster and you're out west, doesn't work either.
That's not a good idea.
Good way to get shot.
Rough or Ruffy for a grouse dog. Best female upland moniker. Covey.
Okay.
Best waterfowling male names. Goose. Sprig. Gaddy. Or Spoony.
I like Sprig. Spoonbill. Sprig is cute.
Best waterfowling female, Widgeon or Teal, make good duck names as female dogs. Best gun-related male names, Remy. I've heard several dogs named Remington.
Yeah, lots.
Okay.
Yep. Haven't you?
Humans are now born.
I've never hunted with a Remington. I've never hunted with a Remington. But.
No, neither have I. Neither have I. Best gun-related female names, Nellie for Benelli. Or Elsie for Elsie Smith, which that's kind of cool.
What about Kimber?
Well, look at you jump out of the woods with that. That's impressive. Best random, Hatchet. Best real person dog names, Gipper. And let's see. Bix was another one for the trumpeter Bix Beater Bicky. And best fictional person choices is Jem, or Scout's brother, or Do You Kill a Mockingbird, or Scout. That works. Of course, Fido is one traditional. Fido. Anyway.
What's the best one you ever actually hunted with? Most unique name. Not the best dog. Okay. I'm talking the best name.
My parents' Brittany is Vlad. For Vlad the Impaler.
Oh, Vladimir.
Vladimir. Yeah. But he's Vlad.
One syllable. That's good.
Yep.
Best dog I've ever hunted. Jet.
Jet? Jet. I hunted over Jeff, too. Jet. Yeah.
And the craziest thing is, it was a blue heeler.
Yeah. That was crazy dog.
That one in Rocco. Rocco the lab.
Yeah.
That dog literally, if there was a bird that got up and you could see it was coming down in some way, shape, or form, that dog would be the first one there. No matter what, it was him. He and Jet were both the two dogs. That Jet could literally jump from the ground up into the pickup truck, over the side of the truck. The side bed would go whoop, like no problem.
Best, funniest one I ever hunted one with was a dog named Dog.
Dog. That's a good one.
Dog, get in the truck.
Yep.
I did get.
And another one was D.O.G.
D.O.G.
D.O.G. Or I love when people name their pets Mom or Dad.
Oh.
Come on, Mom.
I did get to hunt behind Raven. That was a
joy. That's cool.
And he retrieved a bird for me, and that was pretty cool, too. So that was fun. Well, tell you what, this was fun. This is a blast. Thanks for joining us. This is the Valley Outdoors. We are, for Ava, Don, myself, Eric, we are out of here. Join us next week. Thanks much. Have a great weekend.